What's up, everyone? It's Roger and James here, founder of the Disc Kingdom podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about EA and what's going on with Star Wars video games. We'll also be doing a couple of quick reviews. I'll be talking about the new Disney coloring in that app, and also going to be talking about the Nutcracker and a few other bits and pieces. But before we get into that, just a quick bit of housekeeping. First off, if you haven't already done so, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and subscribe on the audio platforms, and you can find us on social media. And also, just a quick apology for last week. Couldn't do the podcast basically because I couldn't see or move my arm because I had a really, really bad migraine and I was basically ill for about 3 days, so couldn't even see what I was doing. So it wouldn't have made a great podcast with me not being able to talk, so that would have been a good one. But had a good couple of weeks there, James.
I can't complain. It's been kind of quiet for the new year, which is the way I like it. So
yes, yeah, not too much better news. But first off, let's kick off with the big one. Really, was EA announced that they had cancelled the project that the Vancouver team were working on, or is what they were referring to as Orca. It was a open world kind of story based driven game. That this one's got a lot of bad things with it, because this was a project which came out of a previously cancelled game that Visceral were working on with, I think it was Amy Henning, that the Uncharted, who made the Uncharted games. They cancelled that game, moved all the assets over to this second game called Orca. They've now cancelled that, and now are working on a small project which they want to get out in 2020. This kind of just set the world. I mean, everyone was talking online on like YouTube and stuff. All the game was about EA, you know, with their license, and just EA not being able to get Star Wars out properly, because they're going halfway for a 10-year deal. They've only got two games out, Battlefront 1 and 2, and a mobile game, Galaxy of Heroes, which really kind of caught everyone the thing of just another nail with EA, and I can't see them getting this deal re-signed.
No, I mean, they've even with the games that they brought out, they did not do the best press. I mean, the first Battlefront was okay in terms of the press. It didn't really set the world on fire, but it wasn't particularly negative. Of course, Battlefront 2 started the whole revolution against loot boxes in general, got loot boxes declared gambling in some countries, you know, all sorts of stuff that EA obviously did not want to have happen, but for us consumers is a good thing. So yeah, they're not doing so well with this license right now.
No, they've got Jedi Fallen Order. Was it Jedi? Yeah, that's coming out this coming fall. I mean, that's a new game. Yeah, well, that's being made by the Titanfall people, guys at Respawn. So that game is coming out. What is getting me about this thing about them working on a small project for 2020? I'm going to be honest. I am wondering, is this Battlefront 3? Because I can't help but think Battlefront 3 is going to be the quickest game to turn around if they want to work on a small project with all assets that are already working. I mean, they only just added Count Dooku to the game last week, which wasn't too bad. But I'm wondering if the third game is going to be Battlefront 3, and that's going to be their kind of last ditch at kind of, and maybe, because if you think they've still got another year and a bit to go on that, and they must have been working on it in between, but That's my guess. I think they just cancelled what they were doing, using the assets they've got just to claw back what money they've got.
I mean, Battlefront 2 was basically an asset flip from the first Battlefront, so yeah. There's only so many times they can do that before, you know, the backlash kills the franchise entirely. Mm. I think it would be the safest bet for them, because as you said, they've already got the assets, and they could conceivably turn around, put a Battlefront 3 out, say, hey, look, we learned from the mistakes. No loot boxes. The maps are free. You know, we'll make sure that you can play with anybody you want at any time. Don't have to spend any money. We will have some extra monetization. But just because it's the safest doesn't mean it's the best.
No.
They really need to get another Star Wars property out there. And not a mobile game. I mean, they can include mobile games in that if they want, but they need a full game for people to enjoy. And if they really want to build up some solid goodwill, it should be one focused on single player. Battlefront 2 and Battlefront 1 despite their flaws, are still solid multiplayer games. Battlefront 1, of course, had almost no single-player content whatsoever. Battlefront 2 had a campaign that we both enjoyed, but was fairly minimal. What, 3 to 4 hours plus an hour on the free DLC? Yeah.
It's an odd one, yeah, because I think that was the big thing of Battlefront 1 didn't have the effect that they wanted, so they added it in number 2. But I think generally people as a whole just were like, no, this is quite weak. And the thing is with Star Wars is a story-driven concept. You know, it's all about the story. And the games aren't hitting the mark. And we have had some amazing single-player games in the last few years, and Star Wars has just missed the beat. And, I mean, we've not had a sort of a story-driven game for so long, and they've just missed it. They've just completely missed it. And the amount of people, you know, calling on EA to lose the license or have Disney strip them back, I don't think that's going to happen. I think EA still must be hitting some money pointers for Disney, but a lot of people are looking towards what Marvel games are doing and saying they need to do this with Star Wars, and I couldn't agree more with them at this point.
I mean, actively stripping the license from at this point, there's no point. They've got a year and a half or 2 years left on it. No company would be able to get anything out in that amount of time that's worth talking about. So whatever they're going to release, whether Fallen Jedi, whatever this other game by the Titanfall devs, which we haven't seen anything about at all, whether or not that comes out, you know, they need that under their belt. They need a Battlefront 3 or something along the lines of Force Unleashed, or even ideally Knights of the Old Republic because of the name brand, but whether or not they'd be able to do it justice is another matter entirely.
Apparently BioWare, do you keep asking to do another Knights of the Old Republic? NEA keeps saying no. They've just released Anthem this past week, which we might have a look about our future episode, because there's a kind of a crossover there with Iron Man, but generally that's all I see people saying is, like, it's like you feel like Iron Man, and remembering of how much God of War felt like a 4 game,
without going into it, because we won't talk about Anthem right now, but if by Iron Man they mean from the first movie when he gets all iced over client going for the altitude record, that's what it feels like right now, because you can't get into the server. And if you do get into the servers, you rubber band like crazy and you get disconnected and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, BioWare, I'd love to see a new Knights of the Old Republic from BioWare. Fix Anthem first, guys. Get your launch solid.
Yeah, I mean, EA, the trouble is with EA is they are a different kind of video game company that are producing mass multiplayer games. They're after multi-transactions. They are not creating the type of games that I think the Star Wars brand needs and what people are looking for from Star Wars. People are looking for that story-driven content. And, you know, we all got told years ago that single-player content was dead. Well, you only have to look at the last 2 to 3 years, and you look at all the big video games, and all the ones bringing in the money are the single-player games. They are some of the biggest-selling games: Red Dead Redemption, Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, Breath of the Wild. They've all been primarily single-player games, and EA just don't do those games. They just don't have that team in them to do it. If you said to them, okay, do a Battlefront game, I think they actually do it quite well. They've messed up a bit, but I still think Battlefront 2 is a very good Star Wars game. It got off to such a rocky start that it's never recovered. Every time that gets brought up, it gets lumped in with all the microtransactions. I jumped into it this week and played, you know, a couple hours in all the Genosis stuff with the new characters. It still looks amazing. It's still a lot of fun, and it's still a great game. It's just, you think now that's the only thing they've had out in the last 3 years. It's just like, that's not very good.
Yeah, no, it's not even just a good Star Wars game. It's a good first-person shooter. There's no question about that, but on top of the microtransactions, there was that incredibly tone-deaf response from the devs whenever people complained about it. You know, the whole pride and accomplishment thing. And, you know, it's just been a mess all the way around. It will never recover from that mess. Even a Battlefront 3 would be tainted by Battlefront 2's launch. So EA needs to be looking at this from a completely different angle. We don't know what the respawn game is, the Fallen Jedi. We figure it's going to be a first-person shooter or a third-person shooter because that's what that studio does. But EA's got to be looking at that going, we've got a first-person shooter. Do we need a competitor for Battlefront 2 from our own house? And yeah, they totally miscalculated on, single player's dead. Single player is not dead. It never was dead. Even when they said that, there were plenty of very good examples of single player games. But last year alone, you know, God of War, Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed, Odyssey, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, or Rise of the Tomb, whichever the one it was. I can't get their name straight. But all these games, and they're all fantastic, and EA is missing out on a lot of money as a result of that. And Disney is thus missing out on a lot of money as a result of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that once the EA license is done, and maybe even also, you know, they might have got a 10-year deal and they're halfway through, but, you know, if they start talking with companies in a couple of years, they can start getting stuff lined up for after the deal runs out. But I think Marvel Games' current system of going to the right companies, putting the right project with the right pings, and letting different game companies produce different content is the way Star Wars needs to go. Disney are doing it as well. They have been doing the same thing. They know that Marvel game system is working. You're seeing it happening in the mobile era with Disney, and you know they have got it. You know, you got Square Enix releasing Kingdom Hearts 3 this week. You know, we never thought that was going to be there, but that one there. You got you know, TT Games released Lego Incredibles 2. There's not a lot on the Disney side at the minute. But you look at what Marvel are doing, and that is working, and people are going, this is how they expect the licenses to work forward. And they, it's, you know, Spider-Man being the best-selling superhero game in the last 15, 20 years, and the success that that game's had has really brought them to the attention, and also their mobile side. You know, things like Contest of Champions are doing very well. Star Wars isn't even seeming to be hitting it on the mobile front either. You know, Galaxy of Heroes seems to be doing all right. Disney have sold Commander over to somewhere else. There's been games cancelled from Star Wars before they've even got launched. And I don't know if it's all because of the backlash to Last Jedi and Solo and this big whole big thing about Star Wars. But I think once we get to Star Wars Celebration and we go forward the rest of the year, you know, excitement is going to start coming back into this brand a bit.
I certainly hope so, especially as we start building towards hype with Episode 9. But yeah, it does feel like, especially in the last year and a half, the brand has been, if not mismanaged, at least misrepresented. As you mentioned, The Last Jedi, Solo was a decent movie, but it, you know, its numbers didn't do as well as Disney would have hoped. You know, we've seen some great books, you know, Thrawn, Ahsoka, Inferno Squad, stuff like that, but they don't really generate a whole lot of buzz. The comics have been solid, again, don't generate a lot of buzz. And nothing with the games. Rebels was a great cartoon series. I'm actually enjoying Resistance, but you never hear about it anymore.
No.
Unless you watch Disney XD a lot for, you know, if you've got kids or you watch that channel. But the Star Wars brand really doesn't seem to be hitting right now. And Disney, not just for gaming, but their entire line across the way for Star Wars, they really need to take a look at it and just go, something's not right here. We need to figure out what, and then we need to move forward from there. We know they're not going to just abandon it. Star Wars isn't going to just disappear. They spent way too much money on it. But
well, the thing is, I'm looking at this and going, yeah, we're all sitting there going, a bit sedated. We ain't going to be saying this in a year's time when you've got The Mandalorian, The Clone Wars, Galaxy's Edge at the theme parks. We've got Episode 9 out. We've got this new 4... In a year's time, we're going to be in a completely different, because they've gone quiet, because they've got so much coming out at the end of this year. They've been letting it rest a little bit, but it is going to be a big year for Star Wars. And this is, again, EA have, you know, are they positioned right for the upcoming bits? I don't know. At least we know we've got a big Star Wars game coming. We haven't seen anything. I'm hoping Star Wars Celebration might be the start of the show off for this new game. But yeah, EA have just not been hitting it.
No, and I would be amazed if they continued with an exclusive contract past the renewal date. Now, they might get the contract renewed and they'll still be able to make games, but they won't be the exclusive provider. No. If they do, if they somehow manage to get that exclusive contract renewed, I would have to assume that they've got something that this is, of course, a year and a half from now, that they would have something up their sleeve that Disney would go, okay, we see what you're doing here and this is what we want on our side. But even then, it's got to be super amazing for Disney to go, you can continue to have the exclusive rights.
Yeah, I can't see it happening. I just can't. I just, in my eyes, I wouldn't necessarily, like you say, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with the idea of EA having a license to do something with, like keeping a mobile game and Battlefront 5 or whatever is going forward, but they ain't going to have the exclusive rights. I mean, yeah, we have seen other games released, like we've seen some pinball stuff, we've seen Disney Infinity 3.0. We have seen some other Star Wars stuff coming along from Disney, and even, you know, we saw Lego Force Awakens. We never saw Lego, you know, Rogue One or Lego Solo, or and there's not been any Lego stuff since. So, you know, there's lots of bits and pieces roaming around that they have done since then, but it'd be nice just to see them just let it spread out, let some other companies do it, because I think they would produce better, different kinds of games, and I think that's what we want, because EA can do some stuff good, but they just can't hit the mark on everything that they need to.
And you kind of have to wonder if they even put like their best team on this. The best team might have been on the Battlefield franchise, or they might have moved a whole bunch over to BioWare to help them out with Anthem or something like that. I don't know. That's all, you know, backroom politics and whatnot. But either way, whether they intended to or not, the Star Wars license has not been well managed under EA.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I'm going to flip over from Star Wars. I'm going to go over to another app that came out this week, which I just wanted to talk about was Disney Coloring World, which I don't think, did you actually get a chance to download this one?
I played it for a couple minutes.
Yes.
I mean, it's what it sounds like.
It's a brand new coloring app, which got launched. I did get given a review code to kind of play it properly or use it properly. And it's kind of this odd one, because it's kind of got some good things about it, and then there's some, I wouldn't say bad things. My biggest problem with it, with this coloring app, is it definitely seems to be aimed a lot more at children than at adults. Because Disney did have an app before, which was a bit more adult orientated. The artwork was a lot more detailed. This one's a lot more simpler. So I don't think for adults, it's quite up there. For kids, I think there are some good things about it. It's big, bright, colorful. It's easy to use. The menus, the side options and stuff for the colors and the different the tools and stuff, that all seems to be really nice and easy to use. The pictures themselves, big and bold and much more kid-friendly. There's not a lot of the detail in there. And I think the good thing is with the detail is, I think, have you got like a pencil or a pen little device that you use with it or no?
Oh, you mean like a stylus or whatever? I have in the past. I actually have one somewhere, but I almost never use it. So,
yeah, see, I found that I didn't feel like I had the control at the detail. I was trying to use my like fingernail, but I don't really have fingernails. So I'm like literally like I couldn't quite get control very well, because, and that could just be because of sausage fingers. I just couldn't, for me personally, I was finding it quite tricky to use the actual coloring, getting the detail. The broad stuff was fine, but the minute detail, I just didn't have the control in my fingers to do it.
Yeah, the little bit that I played of it, it really isn't a finesse control kind of thing. And again, for little kids, that's fine. Mm. You know, they're really not going to stay in the lines for the most part anyway. And if they are going to stay in the lines, it's probably better to get them an actual coloring book.
Yeah.
But, you know, it fills a little gap in the market. It's something that you can hand to a kid if you want to hand them your phone or your tablet or something, and they can play with it and it won't do any harm. And it lets them get their creative energy out in a fairly safe way. So, yeah, I mean, we're not the target. No. Most of the people watching this aren't the target, but it knows what its audience is, and it fills a small little niche. Yeah.
I mean, it's a subscription-based model, so you can subscribe monthly or you can subscribe annually. There are some like discounts in them. It's about $20 for a year or $3 a month. With that, you get in there. There's no microtransactions. There's no adverts. So on one hand, I sit there and go, it's actually what a game should be. It allows for, you know, you don't have to worry about kids spending more. I do feel like when you're offering that subscription model, that they have said that there's going to be more updates and stuff coming to it. I think that needs to be a little bit more open to make it look like you get. I think that's the trouble. Once you're paying monthly for something, you want to feel like you're getting something regularly. You know, if it's like you get a flash message come up when you log in to tell you what's new, or I think they're going to have to look at that to make it, to keep subscribers. You're going to need, it needs to look like you're getting new content every time you log in or you're doing something. And then obviously the trouble as well with microtransactions or paying for something on a mobile game, a lot of mobile users don't like it. And while you can do the free trial, and I would recommend if you're interested, go try the trial out, see how you do. Maybe do a month, 1 month, see if you like it, if your kids are going to use it for a month before doing the full year. But in some ways, as it is right now, I almost feel like it would be better to just be able to buy the app outright rather than do a subscription model, because they've not really said what they're doing in the future, and it feels quite like a you know, if it was $20 for this app, I actually think it would for it to buy it outright. I don't think that's bad, actually. There's a lot of content in here and you've got none of the hassle, but trying to get money out of app owners is very tricky.
Yeah, and subscription in apps is particularly difficult. I agree with you. It should just have a single price up front, because more than likely, you're going to give this to your kid to play with. They're going to play with it a handful of times, and then it's going to be done. I kind of get what they're going for. They're trying to do that subscription model that you will subscribe to it, and then you'll forget about it, and the subscription will just keep rolling over. You know, the AOL theory of staying in business. But I just can't imagine that a whole lot of people are going to subscribe up front for it. So,
yeah, it's a shame, because it's... I do think the app design is very well done. There is some great artwork in there. And obviously, as they add stuff in there, it's going to work. I just feel it needs some tweaks. It doesn't feel like it's quite ready to kind of... I don't think it's big. It doesn't feel like it's going to be able to go mainstream, because I don't think the artwork is there for the adults to get them get in there. And I think that subscription model is going to put off people from going into it. But you're going to have to try it out. There is also the other issue as well with coloring in. Just buy some cheap books and some coloring in, and the kids can kind of do it. But obviously, if you do it on the iPad, you don't have the danger of running all over the walls and stuff.
You would think that.
Yeah.
They'll find a way.
And
of course, the other advantage is with the book, once it's colored, it's colored.
Yeah.
With the app, you know, they color it in, and then you can erase it and start right over, and they can color it in again. And as we know, kids, particularly younger ones, can do the same thing over and over and over again forever, much like grinding in a MMO or something like that.
Yeah, I do think definitely it's that kind of situation of, I think it does hit exactly what, if its target audience is kids, I think this app does it pretty well, actually. I think it's very well, it is well designed, and I think it hits at that. I think it just needs some tweaks to make it that next level up, because I think I'm comparing it to what the Disney Color app did, which was a lot more expensive than this one, but it kind of feels like a little bit of a step back from something I've already seen Disney do themselves with a lot more detail.
Yeah, I don't have any experience with the previous app, so I can't compare it.
Certainly, because my wife does do the coloring books and has the pencils and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just kind of one of those weird things, really, of it's a cool thing just to try out and stuff, and just to see where you go with this app, and just, you know, it's a number of different things. So I'm going to flip over now to a different review. And this was a kind of a random one that I had, and I got sent the Nutcracker and the Four Realms Blu-ray to review. And this was an odd one because it was at the cinema back at the, my wife had said she wanted to see it, but we didn't go cinema because it was like, oh, it's a bit expensive. We won't bother too much with it. It's out this week in the US. It's out in March in the UK. So we were very happy with the fact that we got to see it a couple of months before we were expecting to. And my wife really loved this movie. She really enjoyed it. She loved the music, especially there's like a, there was some music with, I think, Andrew Bocelli and his son. There was a, she loves that music from that. She really enjoyed this movie. It was funny. She was only saying yesterday, she goes, I read your review and you said about me hating the rats in it. She said, you didn't mention me loving the music. You didn't. And it was like, oh, she goes, I don't normally read your reviews, but she said, you missed me out. I was like, oh, sorry. So I'm not going to make up for that. But it was, yeah, she really enjoyed this movie. She thought it was lovely. She liked, we both loved the art style. I was a bit more, it's that kind of thing of, I gave it a 7.67 because it was quite generic, I thought, but she really enjoyed it. Kind of in that same thing to me of like, and I mentioned this in my written review, was that problem that seems to be happening with young female led movies like Wrinkle in Time, A Golden Compass, that kind of thing of they set this girl off into this a massive imaginative world, but never quite hit the point which I think they wanted to. And for me, I was surprised at how well the movie, it did seem to be really good. There was a few little issues I had with it, but it was solid. I don't quite get why everyone was so down on it, because I didn't really feel like it delivered. It wasn't amazing, but it was, it's actually a pretty good movie.
So I haven't seen it. No. I can't comment on it directly. But I am kind of passingly familiar with this trend, especially within movies or movie reviews, is that things are either fantastic or terrible. And there's no such thing as a mid-range movie anymore. And it sounds like that's what this is, kind of a mid-range, perfectly acceptable, enjoyable thing, but not special in any way and not really particularly negative in some way. But because of how reviews are done, especially aggregated reviews on, say, like Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, we tend to see a lot of stuff in the 20s and 30s or 80s and 90s. And yes, I'm sure we can all point out, oh, this was a 50 or that was a 60. But at the end of the day, people look at 50 and 60. Oh, that means it was terrible. So I think we as a society, and I'm talking just about all nations, all movie going peoples, kind of need to be more aware that just because a movie isn't fantastic doesn't mean it's terrible.
No, it's kind of thing for me. I think this is going to be a big hit at Christmases. I think like on Disney Plus in the future and Netflix, I think people are going to, I think when this gets out there and people start seeing it, it might start picking up a little bit more steam of people actually enjoying it. The way it looks amazing. The artwork on this movie is fantastic. It's almost that thing as well of they went so big and so grand, but the story wasn't there to match up to it. They were trying to build this epic big thing, and they built it, but the story wasn't quite there enough to catch it. And sometimes as well, it feels like if something doesn't do well at the box office in that first weekend, it sank before it's even, had a bad box office, no one's watching it, it's awful, and that's the movie dead kind of thing. And it was enjoyable. We enjoyed watching. I think as well as that thing of when you're sat at home on your couch watching a movie, sometimes you do just want something that's not necessarily the biggest movie of all time. You just want something to sit there, enjoy and relax. And we had a really nice afternoon sat there watching this movie, and I really couldn't put over that enough. It was nice. It was nice. Yes, it wasn't amazing, but it was nice, and we enjoyed it. We had a bit of a movie marathon. We had that one, and then we watched Christopher Robin right afterwards, which I got for Christmas. I hadn't seen that movie before. Again, another movie which maybe didn't quite set the world alight. I was laughing throughout that entire movie. I preferred Christopher Robin over Nutcracker, but my wife preferred Nutcracker over Christopher Robin. And you know, we watched these. I was sort of sat there afterwards and just watched these two movies, which are generally, as far as the Disney community went, didn't really do anything last year. And I was like, they were really, I really had a really nice day watching those movies. And that's sometimes, I think sometimes it gets lost in these epics.
Yeah, and these are the kind of movies that could find a home on Disney Plus. You know, they have their run because they're still big budget movies. So they've got a lot of, well, okay, Christopher Robin, the special effects are really mostly just the animals, but Nutcracker, of course, had a lot of special effects involved with it. So they still have the theatrical run, but you put them up on Disney Plus, it follows that same thing that I've talked about previously, which is it's there, people will watch it. You know, there's a big difference between having to go to Redbox or having to jump back to the 90s and go to a Blockbuster and having to go and pick a movie that you then have to spend money on, you have to watch and then make sure you don't have late fees on and stuff like that, versus a movie that's sitting there like, oh, I've already watched that movie. I've already watched. Oh, we'll try that one. We'll try the Nutcracker. Yeah.
We've done that. I mean, we did that last night. It was a Bruce Willis movie on Netflix. Fired one up on Amazon. I watched this documentary on the Fyre Festival on Netflix. Oh. And that is the kind of thing of you're sat there at home and when it pops up. And I really do say that it's like when these movies come up or you see them, you know, if you want to pick up the movie on Blu-ray or something, do it because they're good. They are perfectly fine. I'm going to be honest. Christopher Robin, I love that movie. I thought that was great. It kind of felt a little bit like an Inside Out because each of the characters kind of, you had like sadness as Eeyore and then you had fear as Piglet and Winnie the Pooh was so sad and it was just like, we really enjoyed it. We were laughing throughout and it's kind of one of those things I feel like now, like, why didn't I go and see that? Why did I, that kind of thing of, oh, I'll wait. Because sometimes I do. You do look at the cost of going to the cinema and you go, I'll just wait and pick it up. And yeah, I really felt like that was, those two movies were like, no, these were really enjoyable movies.
So I saw neither of them in theaters. I kind of thought maybe I'd see Christopher Robin with my mom because, you know, we're a big Winnie the Pooh family. We've always loved them, even though I haven't seen most of the movies, but that's not the point. Never saw them in theaters, but they're definitely movies that if they popped up on the Disney Channel or Disney Plus, like, oh yeah, I'll totally watch those. Mm. So,
yeah, I think Mary Poppins would be the next one up for us as well, like that, because of those reasons. But, and if you are interested in streaming movies and stuff, do go check out our What's on Disney Plus podcast where we're talking about movies and stuff on there as well. This week we'll be talking about the new Spider-Man Far From Home trailer and some other bits and pieces going on with Disney Plus. So I'll put a plug in there. So finally, our last bit of the week really is more the collector side of things, was Disney finally released their new monthly system that they're going to be running right through this year. Last year, we had the Mickey Mouse Memories Collection. So every month they release a pin, a plush, and a mug. This year, there's called the Wisdom Collection. The first month was Dumbo. The second month coming February is going to be Mushu. The third one's going to be Baloo. And then there'll be one each one. I think they release on the third Saturday of every month. We've got, not only we got a plush, we've got a pin, we've got a stackable mug, we've got a t-shirt, we've got a banner, we've got, they've kind of upped how much they're offering. The plush is always a big seller. It did sell out online. It does look like it's back, and then it's been back out. They have upped the production. There was a lot of people moaning about the fact that the plush sold out on day one in the first hour again because they thought they'd fixed it. But it does look, I know when I look on the UK store, they're still available. They really did ramp it up. So it's going to be like a monthly thing going forward. And they've all got, it's all based on like a catchphrase. So this month was about Dumbo. And overall, they seem to be going down very well. I don't know if this is going to be as successful as the Mickey Mouse one, but it definitely looks kind of cool. Did you see this one?
Yeah, and I'm actually looking at it right now. Like, they've got the Mushu one, which is the phrase, the flower that blooms in adversity. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. The flower that blooms in adversity is the most rare and beautiful all. Yeah. I think video is going a little bit crazy right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
So it's kind of taps into that like sappy, sweet, get motivated, you know, the kind of meaningless positivity phrases. That's yeah. not necessarily a negative, because these phrases do help people, and it's good to have that reminder every once in a while. I will say that the Dumbo one really didn't do much for me. No. Maybe because they overly designed it. Like, go back up to the shirts you were just on.
Yeah.
Such a cluttered shirt. There's so much going on. It doesn't feel great to me. But some of the other items, like the pins, the plush you mentioned, yeah. I do like the stackable mugs. I kind of like that idea that at the end of the year you'll have 12 of them and you can just stack them all up together.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see how well it does. I'm certainly interested in seeing what else they've got going on.
Yeah.
You know, some of the quotes that they've pretty much told us what movies we can expect. They've got all the phrases up on the webpage. There's certainly some interesting ones on here. But
it's an odd one. Personally, for me, I was a little bit less inclined. I think the Mickey Mouse ones were, but even the Mickey Mouse ones, some of the monthly ones I really liked and some of them I didn't. I do think, like, this year have them different characters. Like the Mushu one looks quite cool and the Blue one. Personally, I do think by them ramping up and doing a journal, a banner, a t-shirt, they are really trying to cover much more of their bases to make sure everyone's got something else that they want to have. Whether or not they get stuck with these could be the other way. They might have overdone it because they thought the Mickey Mouse collection kept not selling out, but that was primarily the plushes. I do like the fact that we got the t-shirts. I thought that was kind of quite cool. But yeah, I don't know. It almost feels like there's a little bit too much. I mean, if you're going to be buying, I can't see anyone, too many people buying the entire collection every single month, because that's like, there must be like $100+ on everything. That's quite a lot. Unless you really like it. So I like it, some of it. I'm glad this exists. You know, if you've got your pin collectors, they've also got like a banner that you can put them all on. But I do think that limited edition plush seems to be that thing of hitting the people at exactly what they wanted. You know, that limited edition item that you couldn't get. And then that then starts moving things. When you can't get it, people want it more. So they have to kind of, that weird line, if they have too many, and then people perceive it to not be selling, then it goes to discount bin. It's a real weird thing with collectibles.
Yeah, and Disney, of course, is huge on collectibles. This is hardly the only thing that they're releasing month to month, where they're like, you know, come back to the shop, Disney, come back to the parks and pick up these items. And I think, you know, we probably won't see the whole line sell particularly better than the Mickey line. It might not even sell as well as the Mickey line, as you said, but going wide like this, they're far more likely to reach somebody who's like, oh, you know, I wasn't interested in the Mickey, but now they're plushes. All right, I'll get the plushes. Or these stackable mugs. That is something I drink coffee 4 times a day. Having all these mugs will be great. And they've got all these different things that appeal to different people. Sure, there will be a couple people who buy everything, because as we know, there are some absolutely crazy Disney fanatics who make us look like normal people. And yeah, they'll spend the $100-something to get every single one every single month. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It would not surprise me at all if next year they do another thing like this, but the line of items changes and maybe shrinks a little bit. They might even try to up the quality, make them more premium rather than whatever, but we'll see it. The year's early. We haven't even seen the Mushu products physically yet. So
I mean, these look great. I was hoping to see them. I had planned on this past week. I was going to go to the London Toy Fair on the Tuesday, and I was going to go to the Disney store. I was actually going to pick up one of the mugs because my wife was after a couple of new Disney mugs, so I was going to have a look at all this stuff, pick up some bits and pieces. Didn't happen because, quite frankly, I couldn't drive because I couldn't see properly, so it kind of threw out all my plans of what we were going to talk about this week, because I was going to talk about all the London Toy Fair things. Not a lot of stuff really got announced from the London Toy Fair. We had some new pop vinyls, you had some like Little Mermaid and Hercules stuff, Incredible. Nothing really too much came out of the Toy Fair as of yet. Hasbro didn't seem to have announced very much at all, if anything. So yeah, it was. My week did not go according to what I was planning. I'd planned a big day trip to London, go to Lego store, go to the Disney store, go to the toy fair, do all of this stuff, and yeah, no, I stayed at home and watched Netflix because I couldn't see properly, and I couldn't even go on my iPad because that was how bad my eyesight was. It was like burning my eyes. I'm like, ugh. So yeah, didn't quite go according to plan. So yeah, it was but it turned out to be quite a quiet week for news, but. Nevertheless, that was all like the big highlights from the last week or two. Make sure you go, as I said before, go subscribe, like, follow on all the different social medias, and especially on there. That's great. James, where can they find you?
I mean, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that, I guess, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next week. We'll see you guys soon. Laters.
Later.